Good morning. I want to heartily welcome each and every one of you that have come out this morning to this service and those that may be listening online. I want to extend a hearty greeting to each and every one of you. My name is Larry Kaler, and I'm from the way that side, Austin McGregor area. So beautiful drive out, beautiful morning, beautiful spring. And when we enter into this time of season where we again remember the sacrifice that Jesus made for our sins, to me it always gives a refreshment of our spirit and of our motive of why we worship such a great God. So I want to greet you with a few verses. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And when we think of the grace that was involved in the sacrifice of Jesus, it's really hard to explain, but Jesus gave his all that he had, so that we could have our sins cleansed. And so let us begin this morning with an opening word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just come before you this morning. We thank you for granting us a brand new day in which we could get up. And when we think of the day that it is, a day of rest and a day which we have chosen to come to your house and to hear your word and to fellowship and to sing and to worship you. And when we think of our worship, I think of our hearts and our minds being fixed on you. And when we sing and when we hear your word, I just pray that there could be a connection with our spirit and the Holy Spirit, and that together we can just praise you for what you have done in the past, what you're doing today in the present, and what you will do in the future. And so thank you again for the sacrifice of Jesus on that cross. Thank you that he made an atonement for our sins. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And we'll begin with a few songs this morning.
From the Red Book, number 31, Come We That Love the Lord. Page 31.
Join in a song with sweet accord and Number 36, To the Lord My Praises Be. Number 36.
To the Lord my praises be, as in dust I bend the knee, as in humbleness I bend the knee. None to thee can e'er compare, Lord, accept my thankful prayer. Lord, accept my fervent, thankful prayer. Lord, I give thee but thine own, place my faith on thee alone. Grant me e'er sincere in mind, that in thee my all I find. Lord, thy hand has fashioned me, gloriously the light I see, gloriously thy wondrous light I see. Through thy blood I'm saved from sin, now I have thy peace within, now I have thy precious peace within. Lord, I give thee but thine own, face my face. On thee alone, grant me e'er sincere in mind, that in thee my all I find. Graciously thou look'st on me, and I now may come to thee, and I now may freely come to thee. On thee all my sin was laid, thou price has paid, thou for me the ransom price has paid. Lord, I give thee but thine own, place my faith on thee alone. Grant me e'er sincere in mind, that in thee my all I find.
Thank you for your singing. We think of the words of that song and having peace with Jesus or with God and having our sins ransomed, and it all wouldn't have happened without what we're going to go into this next week in remembering the events that took place when Jesus offered his body. So today is Palm Sunday, and we know that it's the time when Jesus came to Jerusalem. He entered into Jerusalem. He was, I believe, his parents had brought him there many times before to commemorate the Passover feast. But this time was different. And Jesus knew it. He knew that this time it would be the last time he would celebrate the Lord's Supper with his disciples, and he would become that lamb that would shed his blood. We don't read much in the scriptures of Jesus' early life, especially from ages probably 2 on to 12, and at 12 he was in the temple. And he stayed back, and his parents had to seek him, and they found him in the temple we could say, teaching and asking questions, and with the leaders there, we find that at age 30, he was baptized of John, and he entered into his ministry. We could say a short 3 years of ministry. And then we get to the time that we're about to look back on today and see as he comes to Jerusalem. And I want to start the first half of my message in the book of Matthew, chapter 21. And I'll read the first 11 verses. Matthew 21, 1 to 11. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. And this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughters of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and a colt the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strewed them in the way. And the multitudes went before, and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. That far my reading. We find in this passage of Scripture the events that took place when he was coming into Jerusalem. This event was prophesied many, many years ago. And in fact, in Zechariah 9, verse 9, he says, Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, the king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. So it says the same thing, almost the same thing, as verse 5 there in Matthew. And so when we think of this prophecy that Zechariah had, he says he will come having salvation. He will ride on this donkey. And the colt. But he also says that he is just. And Zechariah also said that this is your king that will come. But the people, they missed some of these points. They were looking for a king to deliver them out of the oppression that they were facing from the Romans. They were looking for someone who would set the Romans in their place. And yet he came lowly. He came with meekness. He didn't come to fight, but he came to give. Jeremiah 23 and verse 5 is another prophecy. He says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth." And I believe that possibly this writing that the Jews were looking for, someone that would reign and prosper and execute judgment, right judgment, and justice on this earth, to set all things straight. But he didn't do it that way. He came to bring salvation, that is true. He came in a lowly state, that was true. And he told his disciples to go and get this ass and the colt. That all was fulfilled. In Psalm 118 and verse 24, it says, "This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." David was referring to a day when salvation would come. They were looking for this Messiah. They were looking for someone to save them. Many prophecies were written, many verses we could find. I've just used a few this morning. But many were written that pointed the way in which Jesus would come. I'll read a few more verses there in Psalm 118. When David said, "This is the day in which the Lord hath made, we will rejoice and be glad in it." He goes on and he says, "Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord." Now this verse in verse 26 was also used in Matthew 21 there, where he says, "Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord." In verse 27 he says, "God is the Lord, which has showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. Thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." When I think of all these verses in the Old Testament that point directly to the place where Jesus came into Jerusalem. We would think that the people should have understood. They should have known. But because they wanted someone with great power, they missed their Messiah. The Jews missed their Messiah. And many a times in my mind I say, but God planned it all this way. And he did. Because the Jews rejected Jesus, we as Gentiles got salvation. Because the Jews rejected their Savior, we could say God turned his face from them for this season that we're living in today, which is in the Gentile age, or the church age, we could call it. And he will come once again in the end for 7 years, and he will turn his face back to his people. He will give them, and he will show them then that he is the righteous king. I am so glad today that Jesus is our Savior, because none of you and me had to go and find a lamb this morning to bring it here to be sacrificed. I'm so glad because I'm not a priest that has to go into the place of the Most Holies to offer the sins of all the people, first of myself and then of all the people. And I'm so glad that Jesus became that priest and the prophet and the high king, or high priest, sorry. Jesus became all of those when he hung on that tree and that cross, and he gave his life. And so I'm so glad today that when you and I, we call on the name of Jesus, he saves us, because the blood has already been shed. We don't need to go and find a perfect lamb to sacrifice. The perfect lamb made his ultimate sacrifice for the past, present, and future sins of this world. And when I see how he entered into Jerusalem, he says he came with a great multitude. So why the big multitude? This was a time of year when they gathered in Jerusalem to offer their sacrifices. But not only that, Jesus had done a series of miracles, where he had healed the blind and he had raised Lazarus from the dead. And the people saw this and they were amazed, astonished, that this one man could do these things. But Jesus didn't do it just to get fame and glory. Jesus was pointing his glory to the Father up above. And yet he was part of the Father. And he was doing these miracles so that the people would understand that God is powerful. And that as he was going to enter, that they would see that this was their sacrifice, this was their Messiah. But it seems like the scribes and Pharisees, they were angered by this. And probably throughout this week, if you follow what happened, you'll see that his teachings, his miracles, they were not well accepted by the scribes and Pharisees. And they sought every occasion that they could to put him to death. They did not want him alive. And they managed to do it. Before we go on to my second part, I want to invite you to kneel with me in silent prayer. Let's just praise God for the great salvation that he brought to us. So kneel with me in silent prayer at this time if you're able to. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Take your blue hymnal and turn to number 400 at Calvary. Number 400, for those that are able, let's stand.
Tell my guilty soul in glory.
Thank you for your singing. Beautiful song at Calvary. So I want to turn to Luke chapter 19. Again, a very similar account, just from Luke's perspective, his writing. And I'm going to read from verses 28 to 44. Luke 19, 28. And when he had thus spoken, he went before, ascending up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass, when he was come nigh to Bethage and Bethany, at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, Go ye into the village over against you, in the which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat. Loose him and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, Why do you loose him? Thus shall ye say unto him, Because the Lord hath need of him. And they that were sent went their way, and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, Why loose ye the colt? And they said, The Lord hath need of him. And they brought him to Jesus. And they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and he said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, If thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the days shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee around and keep thee on every side and shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children within thee. And they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another because thou knowest not the time of thy visitation. In this passage, Luke gives us maybe a few more details than what Matthew did. Again, this comes after he had done many miracles. And it says they were ascending up to Jerusalem, close to the Mount of Olives. I've never been there, to Jerusalem or to Israel. I've seen pictures. But there was a way they often traveled. And he gives his disciples the same message in this portion, to go loose this colt and bring it to him. And again, the owners of it ask, you know, why are you untying my colt here? And it's amazing how that the owner did exactly what Jesus told his disciples he would do. After they told him that the Lord had need of him, yeah, go take him, no problem. It's almost as this owner already knew in his mind what was going to happen. Or he had been prepared to say this. And again, they spread their clothes on this colt. And notice it's Luke says that never a man had rode on it. Never a man. When we think of a colt, when it's not used to being ridden, it would want to buck or be, it would find a discomfort, and he would fight back. I think of a horse that's, I've never had horses, but I've seen people break them. And it takes a lot of training and work and effort to break a horse to be ridden. Otherwise, you get bucked off. But I also thought of when it says that never a man had ridden on this colt. Jesus was also put in a tomb that was never used. They put their clothes on him, on this colt, sorry. They gave of their garments. It was a gesture of honor to someone special, like a king or a queen, or especially a king. Today we'd call it rolling out the red carpet for a special person to walk on. You know, in this text it says in Matthew it says they cut down the branches of the palm trees and just screwed them along the way, but if you think of that, you know, that donkey would trip over these branches. But I think it's the meaning would be is they laid them beside, they made this way for him to ride, and beside it they laid these branches and their garments to welcome the king. Remember, they had seen, Luke says they seen the works that Jesus did. And it brought them excitement. They had this emotional excitement. This now is our king. Remember, he is on his way to Jerusalem. Finally, they say, this is our king. In verse 38, it says, actually 37, his disciples begin to praise him with loud voices, with cheers. Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, I think was mentioned in Matthew. And this they did, and in this multitude, interestingly enough, there are some Pharisees. And they urged Jesus to tell his disciples to be quiet. Tell your disciples to be quiet. And Jesus says, if my disciples and this multitude will hold their peace, If they will be silent, he says, the stones will cry out. I don't know about you, but unless a big stone falls, when it crashes, it makes a big noise. But other than that, I have never heard a stone cry out. And so when Jesus says this, it would be another miracle if the stones would cry out. And he could make that happen. On this point of, in this verse, that the stones would cry out, I want to go in back into the Old Testament and use a few verses of examples that God uses the elements of this earth to praise him. And so let's go to Psalms chapter 96. Psalms 96 and verses 8 to 13. He says, give unto the Lord the glory, do unto his name, bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. Fear before him all the earth. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth, and the world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar, and the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful, and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of wood rejoice. Before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth. He talks here about the forest, the trees, the wood rejoicing. He talks about the fields being joyful. Let's turn to Psalm 98. I'll read the whole psalm. It says, O sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him a victory. The Lord hath made known his salvation, his righteousness hath he opened, openly showed in the sight of the heathen. He hath remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of God, of our God. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praises. Sing unto the Lord with the harp and with the voice of a psalm, with trumpets, the sound of cornet. Make a joyful noise before the Lord, the King. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof, and the world that they may dwell therein. Let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth with righteousness. Shall he judge the world and the people with equity? In this psalm, he's taking the people, the instruments, and he's saying, sing unto the God, sing unto the Lord. And again, he talks about the sea, how it roars. And the waves clap. Let's go a little bit further to Psalm 114. When Israel went out of Egypt, the house of Jacob, from a people of strange language, Judah was his sanctuary and Israel his dominion, the sea saw it. The sea saw it and fled. Jordan was driven back. The mountains skipped like rams. and the little hills like lambs. What ailed thee, O thou sea, that thou fleddest? Thou Jordan, that when thou wast driven back, ye mountains that ye skipped like rams, and ye little hills like lambs, tremble thou, earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob, which turned the rock into a standing water and the flint into a fountain of waters. The writer here is saying when God's people came to the sea, he said, "Sea, who made you to stand still? Who pushed you back?" It was God. When the Jordan River was driven back, God did that for his people. I'm going to go to one more, Isaiah 55. Verses 6 to 13. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and it maketh it bring forth, and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace, and the mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up a fir tree. Instead of the briar shall come up a myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign, and shall not be cut off. Understanding here that God is a God way above our thoughts and thinking and ways. He says, I want you to go out with joy. He says, I want you to be led with peace. And then he says, when we have that joy and peace in our minds, in our hearts, our lives, we will look at the fields like they're clapping their hands, like they're praising us or cheering us on, I should say. Instead of thorn or instead of all these negative things in this world, we will see the positives. And that is when we have that peace. And so as Jesus' disciples are praising him and Luke 19, verse 40 here. And the Pharisee says, tell your disciples to be quiet. Jesus says, I can't. If they're quiet, there'll be more noise. The earth will start shouting. And then verse 41, and when he was come near to the city of Jerusalem, And from my understanding that he could look down from where he was right then, he could see the whole city. It says he beheld the city. I think he stood still. And he looked. And then he says, and he wept over it. Jesus shed a tear, or probably more than one tear, over Jerusalem. He was moved. Because he knew that Jerusalem, or Israel, the people, were not about to accept what he was going to do. They would reject him. We look at a verse in Matthew 23, in verse 37. He says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which were sent unto thee. He says, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. This is why Jesus was weeping. He says, how often I wanted to gather you under my wings. I wanted to protect you, to guide you, to lead you. And he says, ye would not allow yourselves to be. Interesting that he uses comparison of a chicken. Many of us, we've maybe seen how a chicken takes care of her young under her feathers or wings to protect them. I want to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 32. Now read verses 1 to 13. He says, give ear, O ye heavens, and I will give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of thy mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain, and my speech shall distill as the dew, and as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass, because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment, and a God of truth, and without iniquity, just and right is he. They have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of his children. They are a perverse and crooked nation. Do ye thus requite the Lord, O foolish people and unwise? Is not he thy father that hath bought thee? Hath he not made thee and established thee? Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee. Thy elders, and they will tell thee. And when the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, and he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. For the Lord's portion is his people, Jacob, is the lot of his inheritance. He found him, in a desert land, and in a waste, howling wilderness. He led him about, he instructed him, he kept him as the apple of his eye. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings and taketh them, beareth them on her wings, so the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. He made him ride on the high places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the fields, that he made him to suck honey out of the rock and oil out of the flinty rock. In this short reading, he gives us an illustration of how God wanted to take care of his people Israel, how he wanted to take care of them like an eagle. Notice the illustration in verse 11, as an eagle stirreth up her nest and fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them and beareth them on her wings. Here is a precious picture we have of the Lord when he likened to an eagle. Eagles have been identified as being swift in their flight and a powerful adversary who is strong and tenacious and with excellent vision. Although the eagle is a fierce bird of prey, it has also been identified as a wise and attentive parent, showing great care and tenderness for its young. While teaching them some very hard lessons, the parent bird may soar up in the thermals and reach incredible heights in search of food, but they are also vigilantly watching over their young with tenderness and care, and although they soar out of sight, their keen eye is watching for anything that may endanger their young in the nest. An eagle starts to build its nest with razor-like thorns and sharp twigs, but lines it with beautiful soft grasses and moss and feathers on which to lay her eggs. But as the little eaglet grows bigger, the eagle begins to stir up its nest so that the sharp thorns and twigs become uncomfortable for the growing chick. The parent eagles are teaching their young. They want their offspring to leave the comfort of the nest and start to soar into the air. And so they make their nest increasingly uncomfortable for their young offspring. In Exodus, Moses wrote how God bore his people, Israel, and carried them on eagle's wings and brought them to himself. When an eagle starts to teach her eaglet how to fly, she gathers them on her feathers and flies higher and higher, carrying the young fledging and on outstretched wings. At the appropriate time, she allows the little eaglet to free fall from its secure perch, but quickly swoops down only to catch the baby bird in the safety of her feathers, until he has learned to spread his own wings and soar in the heavens. The picture of the eagle stirring up his nest, hovering over its young, spreading out his wings, and catching its babies on its pinions, paints the most beautiful picture of our Heavenly Father as he cares for us, teaches us, trains us, and causes us to grow in grace as we trust him in the increasingly problematic times in which we live. Little illustration of what eagles do. When the scriptures mentions that God wants to carry his people like eagles care for their young. To turn to Psalm chapter 91 and verse 4. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. And then back in Matthew, he says, so often I wanted to gather you like a chicken gathers her chicks, and you would not let me. You would not listen. This is why Jesus is standing there on the edge, looking at Jerusalem, shedding some tears. And then he goes on, he says, if thou hadst known, if you had only known. But he says, now the truth is hid from your eyes. This is hid from your eyes. Why? Because they missed the time of his visitation. End of verse 44. My time doesn't allow, but if you want to study this, Daniel spoke of it in Daniel 9, the time of his visitation. It says there in Daniel 9, 24 to 26, he tells Daniel in this vision that from that day that Nehemiah is given commandment to go and rebuild Jerusalem, he says, start counting. But he told Daniel, 70 weeks are determined for your people. Each week is a 7-year time period. And he told Daniel, you can start counting now. In 483 days, the Messiah will be cut off. Sorry, 483 years. Exactly where Jesus was standing. It's the month of Nisan, which comes in April, where we're again looking at and remembering what Jesus did. It was all written for them. They knew almost to the day when Jesus would arrive in Jerusalem. Interesting. It's all in the scriptures. But you know, today they were cheering and praising him throughout this week that all went away. Their voices turned to saying, crucify him. We don't want him. Away with him. Let's take that and say, we want to praise him for the salvation that he brought to us. Let us close with a prayer. Father, thank you again so much for the gift of Jesus, a gift that cost so much on your behalf. We cannot imagine giving up our children, our sons, for the sins of this world, but you did. Thank you so much for preserving your scriptures, your word, that we can read about this, that we can apply it to our lives. And we can use these examples to bring us in a closer relationship with Jesus. I just thank you for this congregation, and as they again look at the price that was paid and how it was paid throughout this week, you would bless them with understanding and wisdom, and most of all, bless them with peace and assurance, knowing that Jesus is our Savior. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And so I ask you once more to kneel with me in silent prayer at this time. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
From the blue book, turn to page 405, Kneel at the Cross.
Good morning. Thank you, Brother Larry, for Palm Sunday message. Thank you. I have several announcements. The Sunday School Easter program is today at 2:30 Everyone is welcome, and we're asking the parents to bring their children to church 30 minutes before start time. Also, please join us for a session of evening services this coming week, Monday through Thursday at 7 p.m. each night. Everyone is welcome. It is often referred to as Passion Week. Also, a church celebration lunch. Dear church family, we would like to invite all of you to come to join us in a church celebration on April 24th, immediately after the second service in the dining hall. We are also looking for volunteers to help prep, serve the food, and clean up. Sign-up sheets will be posted by Reverend Art Weeb's office for those who would like to help. For more information, please contact George Clausen. Also, we are planning to put our handy van back into service for the elderly that would like transportation for Sunday morning. If you're interested in serving in this manner by being a driver for us, please contact Ike Wall. And he told me that the phone number there is wrong. It's 204-362-0313. Also, a reminder, the Sunday School and Youth Leaders Workshop, Lord willing, will be held on April 23rd. That's a Saturday in the Altona Sommerfeld Church. We encourage all Sunday School teachers, assistants, spares, children's clubs, and youth leaders to attend. We also encourage them to bring their spouses. This year's theme is Preparing to Teach Following Jesus' Example. And finally, the Ukrainian Family Relief. The local Winkler District Ministerial have been asked to take part in helping to bring displaced families from Ukraine to the Winkler area. Approximately 30 to 60 families will need help with airfare, lodging, food, clothing, and furniture. We, the church board and the local ministerial, have decided to have a collection on Easter Sunday, that's next Sunday, in support of this initiative for much-needed airfare and lodging for these families. They are also asking if the church would have anyone interested in either providing a place for these families or taking them in to live with them for up to approximately 6 months. Some of these families are quite large, but you can specify as to how many you could accommodate. We are told that the adults will receive a 3-year work visa and possibly health cards. They definitely would need someone to walk this journey with them once they get here. You'd be their contact person. If you're interested in hosting one of these families or need more information, please contact myself and I'll try to direct you to the right people. Thank you.
Thank you, Peter. I want to thank you this morning for listening so attentively, and may you feel blessed as you leave here. And let us close with the benediction we find in Revelation 5, saying with loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and earth and under the earth, and such as is in the sea, and all them that are therein, heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever. Amen." So you may go in the peace of the Lord, and God be with you till we meet again.